Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and I am excited about the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm excited. My sound like I swallowed a bunch of sand. It kind of feels like I did for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 days. I don't know, kind of little allergies or something, but anyway, I'm healed.
Amen.
Read a testimony. Testimonies are good. Let me tell you about testimonies. Testimonies, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But a testimony expands doesn't bring faith. It expands your excitement to hear someone else's testimony of faith. I got saved in 1967. In subsequent years, my local church preached on divine healing. But not that it was always God's will for you to be healed. I remember in 1980 thinking that I had to be willing to be paralyzed if that was God's will. Soon after that, I heard Brother Copeland on BVOV radio broadcast and received the BVOV magazine. What I heard him teach and what I read in the magazine straightened out my thinking. I realized God always wants me well, and that the price for my healing's already been paid by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you so much for that revelation. Listen to this. It helps me take the right kind of stand on the scriptures when symptoms of sickness get on me. Also, it was a service that Miss Gloria conducted in 1984, where I first spoke in tongues. Thank you, Miss Gloria. A.T. from Ohio. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Send us at kcm.org, BVOV story. These are exciting things. And it does. It gets excited, particularly when you're on our side of this, to hear what had happened. Excuse me, I was told this many times, but on the radio, one day I said, "You're not sick, you're not going to die." And I thought, whoa. Well, I went on then and we got the testimony. This woman was in the hospital. I want you to think about what a miracle this was. And she said, the doctors had just walked out and said, you're sick, you're going to die. And she said, "I heard you say that on the radio." That means that someone before her turned that to that station, because it was a little radio sitting there by her bedside. Now, that's the first miracle. She said, "I'm not." So she sent someone down to the gift shop to buy her a Bible. She began to look up the scriptures. Now, that's why these scripture notes are so important. And anyway, she began to look them up. And she said, and of course, I didn't die. And she said, "I went home and I shared these scriptures with my husband and then with our son." And she said, to make the story short, we're in the ministry and we started a church. There was a church born out of that one statement on the radio. That's the reason the Lord said, "I want this on every available voice." Because I learned about total immersion in World War II when they wanted translators and interpreters they could trust, particularly in Japanese and German and languages like that. And it was total immersion. So I won't go into all of that. But that's what the Lord said. "I want my people in total immersion in the word of faith." So every available voice. That was years ago. Now then, let's go back to the book of Hebrews once again. Now, we're here. Now, let's go back to the 11th chapter of the Hall of Fame there, verse 35. "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel and mocking, scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. Now listen, Nate, are you ready? Now stay with me now. They were stoned, sewn asunder, tempted, slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, they without us should not be made perfect or mature. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hang on. Now that's Hebrews 12:2. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief, is also the finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. Yes. The developer, the finisher. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame. All of the paintings and all of that we see this little loincloth hanging, that was not there. That's, an artist is obligated to do that. The shame of it. Hanging there. Completely naked, in front of his mother, right here in front. And Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. The shame of it all, hanging there, knowing he's coming up out of hell and he's coming out of that grave, glory to God. But he bore our shame. Isaiah 53. He bore our griefs and sorrows. But the Amplified puts shame in there. He bore our shame. But it says, consider him. Oh, Father, we consider you, Jesus. In this situation I'm in, I consider you. I don't consider this pain. I don't consider what they've been saying and that no, I don't consider that. I just turn a deaf ear to that. I consider you. I was doing television with Brother Jerry one day, and he said the Lord had in his prayer time one day, he told him to shut his eyes. He said, I shut my eyes. And the Lord told him, now, you're at the foot of the cross. He said, yes. He said, now go around behind the cross and look up. Oh, God. He said, by that blood there, he said, by that and those stripes, I healed you. I took those stripes so you don't have to be sick. I took those stripes. You see that, Jerry? You see that? And then Jerry, I mean, he was right here in this studio. Well, I mean, it hit me. I mean, it just struck me. I've done it since then. And he said, it seemed like the blood was dripping down on my face. Oh. And a few nights ago, I went to bed. And I always go to bed. I love the Lord my God with all my heart and all my soul and so forth. And I just kind of drifted off into that. And suddenly, this is the first and only time that this has ever happened to me. two nights ago. And suddenly, in my mind's eye, I saw that cat of nine tail ripping into his flesh and tearing it to the bone. My God, I'm healed. He did that for me. Now, the way the Romans would do, they'd give you 40 stripes, less one. There, now, the Apostle Paul was whipped like that. But he wasn't hanging on a cross. That's a different deal. And it doesn't mention anything about that. And if you check it out, well, glory to God. In class, I'm going to tell you something. Those stripes were for us. Yes. And heaven sees scars on our back, not just on his. But not unless you appropriate it. By his stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. And by his stripes we were healed. That's what the scripture says. So we receive that. Now, we're not quite there yet in this great cloud of witnesses. We consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Consider him, lest you get all worried and weary in your mind dealing with all kinds of problems and things. No. Just consider him and just cast all of your care over on him. He did that so that we don't have to do that. Despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastising, God deals with you as with sons. For what son with whom he and father chastens not? And some people say, well, see there, I mean, he'll just whip you. No, these are spiritual things. I'm talking about your physical body. And there's times, I'm telling you, he made it pretty tough on me. This was a situation, and it was right there at home again. And I got up one morning, and just the first thing I heard, my word doesn't have any place in you. And like Brother Hagin, I said, Lord, I mean, you hit me a low blow. My word doesn't have any place in you. He said, you're not doing the things you used to do. Well, what was he doing? He gave me a good spiritual spanking right then. Well, that's better than going on and on and on until it turns into something that I really don't want. Because if it doesn't have any place in me, you just keep on going here. Here comes a little of this, and it's going to turn into a little of that. And it's going to, and then what you've been believing against in sickness and disease, it's going to tag you again. Thus, this is your healing. Yes. And I've told you this before. When I had that horrible pain, which I believe was a blood clot now, I look back on it in Shreveport. And I said, Lord, you can't miss it. I missed it. What's the matter? He said, the memory of a potato never nourished anybody. He said, you can remember what it tastes like? But you're going to have to get it into the system. So you've been quoting all your scripture. Well, there's not anything wrong with that. Particularly if it's a sudden attack. But all the way through that attack, I just kept quoting it instead of opening to those scriptures. And feeding my spirit on that, I just kept quoting them. And it was mental assent. And not faith. I said, well, I change it right now. So I got my Bible down. That's the reason that I keep all these tabs, because the most of those are healing scriptures in one way or the other. They're the different psalms and so forth. And I can just flip through there. And so I did that. And right then, and started it. And then we got my dad and mother, Gloria, and the children were still small when I was in Shreveport that time. So my dad picked me up at the airport. I don't remember what the deal was with our airplane. It was in the shop or something. For some reason or other, I was on the airline. And class, when I got off that airplane, and it hurt me right in my groin. It hurt me on that airplane, not as badly because I had at least obeyed God that part. There was somebody with a wheelchair and said, you need this. Well, it looked really good. My answer was, no, healed men don't need wheelchairs. The devil said, it's about a mile between here, and I'm going to kill you between here and the luggage place. I said, no, you're not. No, you're a liar and the father of it. Well, it was back in those days. It's close to that anyway. Oh, it was miserable. And I got in there, I said, Dad, don't take me. Oh, just drop me off at your house. So, and well, of course, you know, I let Gloria know what was going on. And I just stopped off there because it was so much pain. I just got into bed there. And I just went to sleep of faith. And I just finally dropped off to sleep. My mother came in there and sat down, and she just started praying in tongues just sitting there. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I just raised up like that. Pain was gone. She said, that did it. And just got up and walked out. No pain. But this was one of the scriptures. I considered him. This was one of the ones that I stood on. I consider him. I consider him. I consider him. I consider him. I heard Brother Hagin say it. I consider him, not this heart pain. I consider him. And the Lord told him, said, don't consider that pain. He said, Lord, I'm trying not to. He said, well, replace it with my word. It took him 16, 17 months. He said, had I known, I could have come off that bed earlier. He considered Jesus. He considered Jesus. Now, how much time do I have, Tim? Perfect. I want to go down here to the 19th and 20th verses. But I beseech you, or rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, what? Nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom. That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, 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 oh. Everlasting means everlasting. That means the blood is still everlasting. That means the blood of Jesus on the heavenly mercy seat is still there. Remember this great apostle. Went to Arabia an undetermined amount of time. And in another place he said, in the body, out of the body, I could not tell, God knows. I knew a man once. He saw all of this. And he said, when on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he personally showed me. He was there. He saw it. That's where the book of Hebrews came from. And, just to touch on it, Mary saw him and he said, don't touch me. I have not yet gone to my father and your father. Go tell them. And then that's when it happened. But he had spent, this is when the book of Hebrews happened. But he spent an undetermined amount of time in Arabia. People misread that and said 3 years. No, he said, I retired in Galatians chapter 1. I retired to Arabia. Then, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. So after he left Arabia, there was 3 more years before he went to Jerusalem. So it doesn't say how long he was in Arabia. Fasting, you know, good and well. Praying. In the body, out of the body. Couldn't tell. So as you study his writings, all of them, from the book of Romans, and then all the way through the book of Acts, where Luke was traveling with him, Paul and Silas and all of those things, take all of that into consideration. That all of the revelation, in the body, out of the body. But then when he said to be out of the body, to be present with the Lord. Well, if you read it, where Lazarus was concerned, Jesus waited 4 days because Jewish tradition said the spirit stays around for 4 days. And they said, Lord, it's too late. It's been 4 days. So his spirit is gone. And he said, I am the resurrection. Praise God. Well, we're out of time again today. Do you enjoy this? Not as half much as I do. Because you're just sitting there just draining me, just pulling it out of me. Praise God. We'll be right back.
I'm not going to be depressed and crushed another day in my life because he did it. He went through it. He bought it. He paid for it. And I now have the peace.
By his stripes ye were healed. That's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis, infections, the Lord. You can't separate healing from salvation. It's on the cross.
I don't wait for crisis moments to draw on power. Power is for everyday life.
We got to be unafraid and unashamed. They got to see more power on your side than it is on the world's side.
Join us for the Southwest Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland and our special lineup of guest speakers, July 28th through August 2nd. Register at kcm.org/SWBC today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Today is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory. As a born-again child of God, you have covenant promises that meet every need and prosper every area of life, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. The Word of God tells us when we trust God, we have direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. So when we trust God, we have protection and provision. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water, and such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. So as you sow your financial seed into Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we believe with you for a plentiful harvest. Because of your generosity and partnership, we have been able to send this uncompromised word of faith around the world so people can receive the teaching free of charge on the BVOV broadcast, magazine, website, social channels, and at our events. So let me pray over your financial seed and agree with you for God's surplus of prosperity today. Father God, our hearts are filled with joy to worship you in our sowing today. And according to the obedience of faith, we bring our seed before your holy presence with a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, knowing that as we give, it is given to us again, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, do men give back unto us. And we speak these things in the earth, and we receive our words established in heaven unto your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Always remember, one word from God can and will change your life forever. Southwest Believers Convention starts next Monday, July the 28th. We'll be in Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas, all week. So the Believers Convention, did you hear me? Yeah. Believers, yeah. Believers, yeah. Believers Convention, our hometown meeting. We have a dynamic lineup of guest speakers this year, and you're going to want to be there. So go to kcm.org/SWBC for all the details. And keep the Word of God going into your eyes and into your ears, and let it get down into your heart and rise up in you in faith. Amen. All next week. This is Kenneth Copeland and all of our class reminding you once again, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord. So accept Him now. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for your abundant harvest. To sow your financial seed, you can text the letters KCM to 36609, go online to kcm.org/give, or call 800-600-7395. Your giving has helped send the word of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle.